Many are aware that the book of Genesis prophesied that the Messiah would one day be born of the seed of the woman. But did you know that another seed was also predicted to come to earth? This other seed is the Antichrist, and our guest today says that he will be the final Nephilim. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Skywatch TV studios. Now, the people that are joining me in house today know who our special guest is. And let me ask you something. How many of you have been counting down the days for the beginning of what is going to be a four-week series on our new book? The focus of this week's book, of course, is the final Nephilim. And I'm going to introduce you to the author right now. He's a biblical researcher and writer with an emphasis in ancient Hebrew thought and theology. He received his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from the University of Rochester and his JD from Columbia University Law School, Ryan Pitterson.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So good to have you. And I'm being very genuine. We have been counting down, Drew and I, Derek and I, we've been counting down the days to get to sit down with you, Ryan. And I think for the viewers at home that maybe have not had the privilege of seeing Ryan in other social media, television programs, podcasts, he's everywhere right now. There is a fun history that I learned of when I talked to you for the very first time a few weeks ago, Ryan, when you disclosed that you've been following Skywatch and my father for some time.
Yes, that is true. So I go back to probably 2007, 2008, when God blessed me to direct me to start looking into Bible prophecy. And I go back to the days of Raiders News Network.
Okay, wait a minute.
Old school.
Wait a minute. Raise your hand if you even know what he means when he says Raiders News Update. Okay, most of you. Well, way before Skywatch, you remember, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
You and your wife, Sharon, podcasting before the world knew what a podcast even was. Remember this website called Raiders News Update that my father, you know, he would aggregate the news. And then he would put out prophetic headlines and then, of course, you know, all from a biblical worldview. Well, the long story short, this all gives rise to this very colorful history that eventually leads us to Skywatch Television and Whispering Ponies Ranch. So, Ryan, when you go back to Raiders News Update, that is old school. That's like pre the origin. Anyway, so good to have you here today, my friend. I want to dive right into your new book, The Final Nephilim. And to do this right, we probably should start with just a snapshot. A lot of our audience, they're familiar with some of the conversations that have happened. A lot of Bible prophecy experts have written on the subject. Derek's talked a lot about the Nephilim. But instead of take for granted that every viewer at home, and maybe some of those in the audience today, even know what the Nephilim is, what does that word mean? And why would we in 2022, when the world is seemingly ablaze, why would anybody care? What is a Nephilim?
Sure. Well, the Nephilim were some of the most critical figures in ancient biblical history. And it all goes back, and they were half fallen angelic, half human hybrids. And the word Nephilim or Nephilim in Hebrew just means giant. And
gotcha.
This all goes back to Genesis 3:15, what I call the ultimate prophecy, when God told the devil that he was going to be conquered by a child, a son who would be born one day, the seed of the woman, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, of course. Mm-hmm. And that set the course of human history for the next 6,000 years, because now Satan had a target. He knew that if he could prevent the birth of this Messiah or destroy him or corrupt him, he could try to thwart the plan of God's redemption for all human beings. And so this sets the stage for Genesis 6, where we see the Nephilim introduced.
Right.
Because when we get to verse 1 of that chapter, we see that it says that as men began to multiply on the earth, it was the growth of humanity that led to many potential messiahs being out there. And so the devil needed a wide-scale attack on the human race. And so this led to a second rebellion. A faction of the fallen angels, the sons of God, or B'nai Chai Elohim, took human women as wives and fathered the Nephilim, the giants, these half-fallen angelic, half-human hybrids who have an accelerated evil. And what we see in Genesis 6 is they overran the world with violence and tried to corrupt human genetics.
Right. And of course, your new book, The Final Nephilim. So that title in itself is a bit of a tell. It's kind of a nod to where some of your book goes. If there were many Nephilim, and if this was a broad plan by the enemy to somehow get ahead of and terminate if I can use that word, the potential of a Messiah before he were to arrive. What is and who is the final Nephilim, do you think?
Sure. Well, in Genesis 3:15, there were two seeds that were prophesied. So the seed of the woman, but God also told the devil that there would be war with his own seed, that he would have a seed who I believe is to come, and that is the Antichrist, who is the final Nephilim, who will be the seed of the serpent. And the reason now for his purpose is that Jesus Christ would not return until Israel said, "Here is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he." So that reconciliation is critical. And the Antichrist is the devil's way of trying to lure Israel away from worshiping the true Messiah and worshiping the false Messiah to try and prevent again the second coming now of Christ.
How many of you guys think we are eminently moving toward?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Something prophetic that at some point, and of course, God is in control, so he's permitting whatever we see to happen. But all one needs to do is look out their own window to see us, you know, being spiraled into what we at Skywatch TV are often calling the last days. But again, we don't want to set dates, right? We're not in the business of setting dates. And I can see Derek, he's over there. Every time you're talking about the final Ephraim, I know he's got stuff he's going to say. I promise, we're going to get to all of that. But let's start at the front end of your book, Ryan. You have a chapter that pretty much sets up the stage for this book called The Beginning is the End. What is the meaning behind that?
Isaiah 46 has an amazing pronouncement by God where he tells the Israelites that if you want to know how I am God, the Most High, above the fallen angels, above the demons, it's from prophecy. God really banks his name on prophecy and says that I've declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that shall come to pass. And so what I point out is that in order to truly understand the complex prophecies of Revelation, we have to look to the earliest events in the Bible, and it just gives us the lens to really decipher Revelation.
Gotcha.
This reminds me of the late Chuck Missler's quote where he says, "The Bible is the one book that banks its entire credibility on predicting the future."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly. Good.
So it's the unique book.
Amen, indeed. I look at four different events. We talked about Genesis 3:15, the days of Noah, which Jesus pointed us to and said it would be like as the days of Noah. Also the days of Lot, Jesus pointed us to know what the end times would be like, and the Exodus, which I think we see this repetition of these events all playing out in the Great Tribulation.
So if the final Nephilim is like the continuation of the plan, what makes him different from the first iteration, just the Nephilim as a whole? What makes him a different Nephilim?
He will, I think, be the most powerful of them all, because it
says
that he's given his power and seat and authority directly from the devil. And really, the way he will win the world over is through miracles. He will be mimicking Christ. So he will have literal supernatural power that will win the unsaved world over to believe that he is the Messiah.
Right.
One of the things that we've wondered is why the enemy, why the fallen realm chose this plan of attack, and why not, since they are obviously a lot older, a lot more intelligent, a lot more powerful than we are, in our limited as we are by our natural senses, why do they go to this trouble to create a hybrid instead of just coming down and smiting us with their superior angelic abilities?
We see in Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 where God is speaking to the devil in his throne room and gives restrictions. He sets the parameters for how far the devil can go in his attack and in his schemes. And I think in a similar fashion, we see that in the end times. And I think there's also something important about the Antichrist, that he has to be part human. This is something that Derek and I have discussed, and also I know Tim Alberino has hit on, that he has to be part human to rule over humanity. And this is a battle for heaven and for earth. And so that's why he has to have literal human genetics to rule over earth.
So they need some sort of permission to interact with our realm in the same way we're restricted from their realm.
Exactly.
And just as Jude wrote in his epistle, the angels who sinned, the ones who could led this rebellion in Genesis 6, left their position of authority. They left their proper domain and entered ours. And God said, that's not happening.
Exactly. And we see the harsh punishment that those angels received, because the Genesis 6 rebels, you think about the fact that the devil is still roaming to and fro in the earth and can still access heaven.
Yep. Right.
But the Genesis 6 rebel angels, they were cast to the abyss immediately and imprisoned for millennia till today, until the Great Tribulation.
Ryan, what role do you see the sons of God from Genesis 6 playing in the end times?
Well, I think that, again, we're going to see a repetition of the days of Noah where they're going to return, specifically at the fifth trumpet in Revelation chapter 9, where we see this star falling from heaven, who I believe is Satan, falling from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit, and he opens it. And those locusts who emerge, I believe, are the return of those fallen angels, and they're going to torment the unbelieving world for 5 months.
Your book does something also that I want to make sure that I highlight. And you guys have got to make sure you get copies of this. So the book, The Final Nephilim, and I don't know, maybe we should give Ryan credit for this idea. I think maybe it was his book where you saw the QR codes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
That's
yeah.
Where we picked it up. Yeah.
So those watching the TV program, Ryan, we stole your idea.
Oh, yeah. We can confirm that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Derek
We're talking
knows.
About this behind the scenes. This right. is a really great idea. Why aren't we
yes,
doing
why
this?
Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
So when you see QR codes popping up in the new Defender books, well, maybe we should just give Ryan credit for that. But also on your screen, for those at home, you will see, you know, every week we post our special offers, the opportunities we're providing for you to get special content, DVDs, the book of the week. You will now start to see those QR codes popping up on the bottom of your screen. You should be able to take your cell phone and whatever photo app you're using, simply point the phone at the screen. It'll automatically pop up with the ability to press that QR code, and it will immediately take you to the SkywatchTVStore.com, and you can bypass the need to try to remember something or jot something down and rush to the interweb later to find the special offer. But again, why? Let's get back on your book. Why in your book, apart from giving us the idea to copy the you know the whole scenario, why did you decide to incorporate QR codes? Because I could see that having endless possibilities to supplement, you know, with video content, create a 7-minute video that kind of expounds upon an idea. You could do this retroactively. You could put a book out, come out with a second version, address things retroactively that came out in the first book. I mean, you could do all kinds of stuff with this.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just that, you know, when you think of video is just so popular now as a way to reach people.
Yes.
I just really want to include it as bonus commentary to, you know,
right.
all the ideas you're talking
right.
about, that you can provide even more content. And so throughout the book, I just put in QR codes and recorded a series of different videos, and it gave me the opportunity to put in bonus content. So there's one video that talks about the Nephilim in pop culture and how the
wow.
world is distorting the message of Nephilim. And that's not actually in the written book, but there's a video segment that gets into that.
Yeah. One of the things that Drew and I noticed too with all of your social media content, folks at home, you got to go look up Ryan Pitterson and just see what else he's done. I'm telling you the truth. So one of the things is, producer's eye, Drew Graffia, he comes to me and says, brother, you've got to see the production values on this guy, Ryan Pitterson. They're amazing. And of course, we appreciate that because not everybody has access to, you know, fine cameras and all the right audio. And they're putting content out where the content itself is amazing. But you also have the benefit of access. I don't know if it's studio guys or if you've built a studio off the side of your ministry or what, but great production values. So when he says there's a QR code in his book, it's legitimate. It takes you to really three-dimensional content.
Yeah, thank you. And like I said, I was excited. I got to work with, I've been blessed again to work with a great studio and really put together some exciting content that I think will, again, add more depth to the book and bonus material.
Well, and I think that's really important, too, in this day and age with so many young people getting curious about, hey, I want to learn more. Why is this important to me? So having that extra content, and everybody, especially that younger generation, is on their phone, so that's important.
Mm-hmm. I'll actually add to that. During 2020, you know, with the shutdowns and everything else that was going on, interest among the younger demographics mm-hmm. in things like prophecy spiked, Bible sales in that age bracket spiked. Yeah. So this is a time to really kind of strike while the iron is hot and get that information out there for young people who are curious.
Especially when you're dealing with a topic that is as spectacular
yeah.
as the Bible. I mean, the Bible, we in the Western world have sort of been taught that it's sort of a desupernaturalized, mm-hmm. it's just a list of rules and stuff. But when you look at it, I mean, this is why Sharon and I wrote Giants, Gods, and Dragons, because they're all in there and they're all real.
Yeah.
And if you get kids convinced, hey, look, we're in the middle of like J.R.R. Tolkien on steroids, they might actually get excited about reading their
yes.
Bible.
And I don't know if I should do this, but here in a minute, we're going to go to a break. Maybe I should tease some of the extra content that yeah. we're making available in this package. And guys, when we say we're creating new content now to put into these packages, I mean it. We've got Josh Peck on standby. He's got a studio at his place. We're going to be recording later on today a presentation with Ryan that goes in this package, full DVD content. So these are not last year's throw-ins. These are not recycled podcasts. This is information specifically written and recorded for inclusion with this package so that you get this really well-rounded discussion through the totality of the final Nephilim.
Exactly.
And Drew, I don't know if you want to tease a little bit of what's going in that DVD later.
Yes, well, we actually are going to film something called Quantum Prophecy with Josh Peck.
Wow.
So you're familiar with Josh Peck's former work on Into the Multiverse. So his knowledge from that is going to couple with Ryan Peterson's knowledge of quantum prophecy and how it relates to God. That's one of the bonus contents. The other one is actually going to be filmed in the awesome studios we're talking about with Ryan Peterson. It's on the Assyrian, which we're going to get into later.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil anything, but it's all custom content.
Right.
So I call dibs on the first one.
So Allie has dibs on the first one. That's it. You heard it, right? So why don't we take this occasion right now to show you, the viewers at home, how you can take advantage of this special offer and get your own copy of The Final Nephilim plus some other bonus teaching materials. We'll be right back.
The book of Genesis prophesied that the Messiah would be born of the seed of the woman. But Genesis also predicted another seed would arrive on earth. And he is the final Nephilim. Skywatch TV is proud to present the Final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive. When you order Ryan Peterson's new book, The Final Nephilim, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the never-before-seen exclusive DVD content, Quantum Prophecy, starring Ryan Peterson and Josh Peck, and The Assyrian, a video expose of an ancient evil. In the new groundbreaking book, The Final Nephilim, author and researcher Ryan Peterson details how, while many have portrayed the Antichrist to be a charismatic military genius, he will actually be something far more sinister. He is the Final Nephilim, a fallen angelic human hybrid who will use occult power to lure most of the world into the greatest deception in human history. Through his revelatory research, Ryan Peterson answers questions such as, will the fallen angels once again attempt to mingle themselves with the seed of men? Who or what is the Antichrist, and does he have a supernatural origin? What is the connection between quantum physics and the biblical symbolism of the scroll? What role do UFOs and alien phenomena play in end-time events? And how do Jesus' warnings about the days of Noah decipher the prophecies of Revelation? You'll also receive the never-before-released interview, Quantum Prophecy, on DVD, where Skywatch TV's own Josh Peck sits down with Ryan Peterson to speak about quantum physics as it relates to biblically prophetic topics, such as the mark of the beast, ancient antichrists, and angels. And as an added bonus, Quantum Prophecy also includes four of the absolute best episodes of Josh Peck's popular television show, Into the Multiverse, entitled Untangling Quantum Entanglement, Quantum Tunneling, The Strangeness of Quantum Fields, and The Real Science and Fake Religion of Quantum Biology. But that's not all. We're also including the never-before-seen content on DVD entitled The Assyrian, where Ryan Peterson goes into detail about an ancient evil who once walked on the earth and is set to return from the abyss to enter human flesh once again and to continue his reign of terror. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. So prepare for a study in Revelation that travels through time and space to decipher the most mysterious prophecies of the apocalypse. This collection is only available through Skywatch TV, so don't delay. The Final Nephilim Skywatch exclusive, available now at skywatchtvstore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Welcome everybody back to Skywatch TV. I'm Joe Artishorn. Are we having fun?
Yes.
Ryan Peterson, what a special guy. Let's continue our discussion. We're talking about the Final Nephilim, and I want to move into some of the other material that's in your book before we run out of time with just a few minutes on the clock left. Your book talks about something very interesting. And I want to ask you, since Satan failed to prevent the birth of the Messiah at Jesus' first coming, what would be the purpose of bringing the Nephilim back in the end times?
Well, one of the main purposes of God's judgments in the Great Tribulation is to bring back the end times reconciliation of Israel, the believing remnant to him. So there are numerous prophecies in Zechariah and Isaiah that discuss this one-third remnant coming back and truly acknowledging their Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so the Antichrist is there to be the strong delusion, the deceiver, to prevent that from taking place. Because the return of Christ is linked directly to Israel's reconciliation. So Satan is sending the final Nephilim, the Antichrist, to try and prevent that from taking place. And not only lure them, but even corrupt them genetically as well.
Oh, wow.
I know this is something my father has written about. And back in the day, you may have even stumbled upon some of his works. We've talked about some of the library that you have at your place. I wonder what it was about this particular topic. I mean, it's not that the average guy out there wakes up one day and says, you know, I think I'm fascinated with these things called the Nephilim. And more so, I'm going to research deep enough to explain how this might actually play into end times prophecy. And sadly, the state of affairs with most of our organized religion today, mm-hmm. Things like the Nephilim aren't discussed at all. I mean, well, biblical prophecy.
Right. A lot of churches avoid it.
What's that?
A lot of churches avoid it.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, I'm not here to throw rocks at people. I know that my dad told me one time, as he pastored in the Assemblies of God for over 25 years, and he said one of the hardest things he ever did was be a pastor. Mm-hmm. You're burying the dead. You're marrying people. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in the hospital constantly. And as a pastor, you have... you're a human being. You only have so much reserve. Yeah. You're praying for grace. Wade and I, we've had private conversations, right, buddy? We've talked about that reserve and when it's finally depleted. So again, I'm not throwing rocks. I don't want to be one of these guys that's constantly hitting the church for everything. But there is absolutely, I think it's non-existent,
yeah,
Ryan, this discussion of Bible prophecy, things like the Nephilim. So I'm just curious, what about this subject fascinated you as a guy who stumbled into it for the first time?
Sure, and like you said, it's not often discussed, especially, you know, coming from law school, we didn't actually have Nephilim studies or anything like that there.
Yeah,
that's surprising. but, you know, once I really stumbled upon this topic, it opens just a new dimension to how you view the Bible. Mm-hmm. And coming from where, you know, I'm originally from New York City, you have a lot of resistance to the Bible. And, you can have a discussion. One of the main challenges to the Christian faith people bring up is the flood.
Yeah.
How could your God, who is loving, flood this world and just wipe out the human population? So
that's
when you understand Genesis 6 and the Nephilim, it wasn't just an irrational judgment from an angry God. It was an act of love. It was saving the last of us that were left to give us a chance at redemption. So I think it's important. It bolsters our witness and it strengthens the faith itself when we can share this. And so that really drove me.
Yeah. See, and in a world that works so hard to take the supernatural out of it.
Right.
As a kid growing up, the stumbling blocks I had for faith were the stories about the serpent and the stories about the flood. And I just couldn't wrap my head around how those would be real.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand the supernatural context, you start to notice that, hey, there's spiritual beings that are at play. There's the Nephilim. There's stuff like that. So from someone who had a stumbling block in those areas, this type of research actually helps get you started and points you ultimately towards the gospel.
It also helps explain some of the difficult passages in the Old Testament where the Israelites are told that all of these cities are under the ban. You have to destroy them, utter destruction. You can't even because they're totally sold out to these supernatural entities that have rebelled against God.
Exactly.
One of the things that occurs to me too, and maybe it's just me, but I often think sometimes, you know, God is absolutely ordaining some of these programs and they're meant for someone here right now. Maybe that's you watching the program today. Maybe you've heard this word Nephilim for the first time and your curiosities have been aroused and now you want to do your own research. I often think of what we're doing here at Skywatch, despite what your view on the rapture is, pre, post, mid, someday we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we're not creating an archive for someone that is left behind.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
People stumble upon these programs that, this explains what I'm seeing now.
Yeah.
So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to do what we do here at Skywatch. And we're so blessed to get to have guests like Ryan Peterson on and to create these historical sound bites and archives. Getting back to the book with just a couple of minutes left, you quote a number of sources from the first and second centuries. and many 18th and 19th century theologians. And I'm wondering, what was your reasoning for doing that?
Right. Well, it kind of gets to the point that we were just discussing, that when you go back to the church fathers and even up to the 1700s, the 1800s, the church, Christians readily embraced the supernatural aspects of Scripture. So, yeah, you know, there's a treasure trove of sources that I wanted to highlight that we right. never discuss. Some authors, theologians, laymen, laywomen who talk about the Nephilim, fallen angels, the spiritual war taking place. So I really wanted to highlight these sources to show that this was the common understanding of the church going back to the apostles. And to...
Oh, I was going to say, and that's one of the things that really impressed Sharon and me about your book, is that we've dug into modern archaeology to kind of confirm the first and second century view. You know, there have been texts that have been discovered from the neighbors of ancient Israel that have only been translated in the last 40 years or so. That's, there was a cult. The Rephaim, the Nephilim, were venerated by their neighbor. But we always assumed, until your book, that it was the default understanding of the church since Augustine in the 5th century, that the righteous sons of Seth married the evil daughters of Cain, and that's explained Genesis 6. But that was not the understanding of the church. And your research documents that it's only been the last 100 years or so that we've lost that supernatural worldview in the modern church.
And it's also really fun reading those bits, because it kind of takes you back to that time, just their language from those centuries. And they say it in almost in passing when they mention the supernatural stuff. They don't highlight it. They don't make it a big deal. It's just because it was so widely accepted.
They took it for granted. They would watch this show and they would be bored.
Is that
possible? We know this. We know this.
Yeah. With just about a minute left, Ryan, what is the overall message? And we're going to get into this in the subsequent weeks, so don't go anywhere. Believe me, we've got a lot more ground to cover. But if somebody happens upon us in, you know, on a social media platform, and this is the only one they catch, what is the overall prevailing message of the final Nephilim?
Sure. The message is that we can trust God's word. You know, God has told us that he's declared the end from the beginning. And prophecy, you know, when we put our faith, God wants us to trust him. We talk about, you know, the Apostle Paul says the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. That's what protects us from problems in the world, from the trials and tribulations, everything going on in society as we approach the Great Tribulation. When we listen to prophecy and know, not only does God love us, he redeems us, he protects us, and he is coming back for his church. That is the true message. And he's the victor. He's told us already that we know the end. It's already, spoilers out. He is the victor. So the message of the final Nephilim is to know that Christ will be the victor over Satan, the fallen angels, the demons, and all evil.
Right. Right. Awesome. Isn't that it?
It's a great message.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we're at that critical time every week where we run completely out of time, minutes on the clock to do any more, but we will be back next week, and Ryan Pitterson returns with shocking revelations about the several antichrists listed within your Old Testament. You're not going to want to miss this. For everybody here in studio, everybody on panel, Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. Keep your eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. We'll be back next week.
Quantum superposition, what is that from a scientific standpoint?
Sure. So in quantum physics, which is the study of subatomic particles, protons, electrons, neutrons, little parts of the atom we see in high school, it's the study of those particles and how they interact in the universe. It's what matter is made up of. Mm-hmm. And quantum superposition is this principle that a subatomic particle like an electron can exist in two different states simultaneously. So you can have an electron that is both spinning up and spinning down at the same time, which seems mind-boggling. We're talking about how could one particle do that? And so what I highlighted that in my new book just to show that this is really, I think, hinting at what the Bible has revealed about the nature of God.
Yes.
When you hear Jesus say, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, that he's the beginning and the end at the same time. The concept of the Trinity, that God exists.